Good morning, everyone. Take your Bible and turn to Psalm 35. Psalm 35. If you lived back in the 16th century, you could have been a part of a group of separatists who left Europe, Christians, who got on a small ship and headed, a small ship called the Mayflower. They headed out to find a place to exercise religious freedom. They landed in what's now called America, in particular place, not Northern Virginia as they'd hoped, but in Plymouth, Massachusetts. What were the beginning words of their compact or constitution? In the name of God, amen. We sign this compact, having undertaken for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. This would lay the groundwork for the Constitution that we have today. As stated by William Penn in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, and later by other founding fathers, unless the citizens and leaders of this nation voluntarily submit their thinking, desires, and actions to the limitations of the 10 moral commandments of God, then freedom, liberty, and pursuit of happiness cannot endure. Today I'd like to speak to you on this message, America's Godly Heritage. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we pray that you would take control of our hearts and minds instead of allowing Satan to take control of our heart and mind. So many lies have been told about our nation in its beginning. One of the greatest lies is that we did not have a Christian beginning. That is a big fat lie. We thank you for our nation, dear Lord. We pray that we would go back to its roots and see your glory and the advancement of Christ's kingdom on earth, as our forefathers, many, prayed that very way. In Jesus' name, amen. In Psalm 33 in verse 12, you can look at that since you're close. Psalm 33 in verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. And all God's people say, amen. Yes, he is talking about the nation of Israel or any other nation that he's decided to bless because of their focus on him. If you focus on God, you focus on the blessing. And if you don't focus on God, you focus on being cursed. That's the truth. Before signing this document, pastors had entered the room. White and black pastors, by the way. They prayed for 2 hours after studying Psalm 35. And then they signed the Declaration of Independence. How many of you knew that? When's the last time you prayed over 5, 10 minutes? When's the last time you wept over our nation? Somebody's got to do it, and it needs to be us. They wept and cried out to God in the beginning, and we need to weep and cry out to God for the future. So we don't have time to expose the whole chapter today, but we're going to read it. Let's read it. Follow along, if you will. Psalm 35, before the Declaration of Independence from Great Britain was signed on July 4th, 1776, they read this psalm. They prayed for several hours. They got up from their knees and they signed it, believing they were doing the will of God, the beginning of America. Psalm 35. Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler and stand up for mine help. Wait a minute. This sounds like one of those imprecatory prayers. It is. Just like after the rapture of the church, tribulation period begins, millions of people are saved and they're put to death and they're before the throne of God and they're praying for justice for our blood that was shed on the earth. Revelation 6. It's not wrong to pray for justice and righteousness in a nation. It's not wrong to pray for that. Once mercy and grace has been pushed aside, all you get's wrath. You pay for your sins then. I thank God on the cross, Jesus Christ paid for all my sins, and my faith is in Him. That's our founding fathers. Most of them had that attitude of heart. So I'm going to try to read the rest of it now without without preaching through it. That's going to be very difficult. But you pray that I just keep moving, okay? And we might be here till midnight. I'll try to be done at 12. Let's really focus. Think about being in that room. Think about reading this. Think about nation birth. Declaration of Independence. Verse 3, draw out also the spear and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, read it out loud, I am thy salvation. You ever said that to your soul? The Lord's my salvation. Verse 4, let them be confounded, confused, put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion, not knowing what to do that devise my hurt. Let them be as chaff before the wind, let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery, not accomplish their wicked work. Let the angel of the Lord persecute them. For without cause they have hid for me their net in the pit, which without cause they have digged for my soul. Let destruction come upon him at unawares, and let his net that he hath hid catch himself. And to that very destruction let him fall. In other words, what he wanted to do for me, do that to him. Verse 9, and my soul shall be joyful in the Lord, and it shall rejoice in his salvation. Verse 10, and my bones shall say, Lord, who is like unto thee, which delivereth the poor from him that is too strong for him, yea, the poor and the needy from him that spoileth him, takes his stuff away. False witnesses did rise up against me. They laid to my charge things that I knew not. By the way, where does this ultimately happen? Is this David and Saul, when he's attacking him, is that the ultimate, what David's talking about? It ultimately points toward Christ. Amen? Taking away that rightful place as the Messiah. Verse 12, they rewarded me evil for good to the spoiling of my soul. Anybody ever stole from your soul? Now, they took 2 hours to go through the passage. I've only got about 5 minutes. Notice the attitude of heart. But, verse 13, but as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, refusing food for a while. My prayer returned into mine own bosom, my own heart. I behaved myself as though he had been my friend or brother. I bowed down heavily as one that mourneth for his mother. That means a mother that's passed away. But in mine adversity, they rejoiced and gathered themselves together. Yea, the abject gathered themselves together against me, and I knew it not. They did tear me and ceased not. They kept speaking against me. Verse 16, with hypocritical mockers and feasts, they gnashed upon me with their teeth. Lord, how long wilt thou look on? This is a prayer for God to move. Rescue my soul from their destructions, my darling. That's a term in the Song of Solomon, meaning the one who really loves me. Anybody like somebody who really loves them? Anybody know anybody who really loves them? My wife really loves me, and I love that she loves me. I might write a song about that. I love her too. Amen. Christ loves us all perfectly though. Verse 18, I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. Let not them that are mine enemies wrongfully rejoice over me, neither let them wink with the eye, you know, half-truth stuff, that hate me without a cause. For they speak not peace, but they devise deceitful matters against them that are quiet in the land. Yea, they open their mouth wide against me and say, aha, ha, yeah, now we see why you got trouble. Our eye hath seen it. Verse 22, this thou hast seen, O Lord. Isn't it wonderful that God sees everything, even persecution? Keep not silence, O Lord, be not far from me. Stir up thyself and awake to my judgment, even unto my cause, my God and my Lord. Judge me, O Lord, my God, according to thy righteousness, and let them not rejoice over me. Let them not say in their hearts, ah, so would we have it. Let them not say, we have swallowed him up. That means destroyed us. Let them be ashamed that brought to confusion, though not knowing what to do. Together that rejoice at my hurt, let them be clothed with shame and dishonor that magnify themselves against me. Let them shout for joy that be glad, that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, say it out loud, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. Now we just set the tone. You're there. You've just read this. And now for the next 2 hours, let us all bow on our knees and pray for our country. We're not going to do it, are we? Because we don't have 2 hours. Maybe we'll take some time later. Maybe we'll continually pray for our nation. But they did. The United States Declaration of Independence from Great Britain. Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, July 4, 1776. Pennsylvania State House. How many of you love the great state of Pennsylvania? Say amen. 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 The colonies were at war. The 13 colonies were at war with the Kingdom of Great Britain, regarded themselves as 13 independent sovereign states. By the way, that's what the southern states were fighting for. It wasn't slavery. In other words, every state wanted its own border and create its own sovereign state, and then we came together as United States. There are some benefits to having a state and regulations just for your state. Now we see that error of our ways. You speak as a southerner, Pastor Long. Okay. I leave it to you. But to blame the South for fighting only for slavery is to reinterpret history and blaspheme the southerners. I'm just letting you know. And I'm not standing for it anymore. No longer underneath British rule. When the Declaration and new states took a collective first step toward the United States of America, the Declaration was signed by representatives from New Hampshire. Remember the Don't Tread on Me? 13. New Hampshire, Massachusetts Bay, Rhode Island, Connecticut, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Maryland, Delaware, Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Georgia. Doesn't sound like all of those were northern states, does it? No. And the rockets, red glare, the bombs bursting in air gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. I don't know about you, but all I heard last night was boom, 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 boom all over the place. The fireworks sales have been higher this year than many, many years in the past. And I believe that's because the larger demonstrations of our freedom, celebration of our nation, were hindered by something, we'll just say. And if that's any indication, in Williamsport, if people will love the United States or love their freedom, a lot of people love America in Williamsport, I can tell you that. It was up till midnight, like cannons going off. The other night, I mean, people were just celebrating earlier, and my son woke up and came in and said, "Dad, I didn't see any glares or anything, but I heard boom." He said, "Was that a gun?" I said, "Who knows?" I don't know. Probably not, but I think it was the firework. Okay. The Signers of the Declaration of Independence is a book you need to get by David Barton and educate your family. The Signers of the Declaration of Independence and educate your family. So many lies have been told about our nation. We better start educating our children. Many of the 56 signers asked that God will be glorified and that Christ's kingdom will be advanced on earth. Let me read that again. The book I just told you about, Signers of the Declaration of Independence, the 56, by David Barton, wallbuilders.com. Okay, now pay attention, all right? Many of the 56 signers asked that God would be glorified and that Christ's kingdom would be advanced on earth. Then they signed. Wow. Declaration of Independence from Great Britain. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one person to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth a separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinion of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, which among them are what? Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. By the way, that framing, that context, was underneath the context of believing in God and advancing the Christian faith. So when you strip away God and the Christian faith, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness can have a different meaning. What is the gospel? It's the freedom from sin and the righteousness of Christ within. That's the gospel. And that's good news. John Whitehead of the Christian Liberty Attorney, he says this, "The media does more than affect public opinion. It alters the consciences and worldview of entire generations. If you are 18 to 30 years old, the reports say, most of your opinions come off of your phone, Wikipedia, Googling something where godless minded people are giving you their advice and taking away our Christian heritage. But when you start wrong, you're going to end wrong." Be careful of that. 86% of young people, 18 to 30, get their advice not from what was written in the books of history, but from someone's opinion of what was written in the past. In fact, they just tell flat out lies. Humanists, socialists, for instance, don't believe there's any heaven, no hell, no God, no hope, no eternity, just right now. Therefore, this generation is more likely to believe the undermining and propagation of falsehoods against God, our country, because they haven't been educated by teachers who know our real history or live in denial of it. Black Lives Matter. The movements, the ones who started this movement are trained Marxists and they openly admit it. What is a Marxist? A Marxist is a belief that socialism is a better form of government than capitalism and real freedom is actually absence of respect or restraint from any and all authority, including God, parents, police, or government. Who wants to vote the police out? Not me. I'm voting for the police. So that's the movement. By the way, it cares very little about black people. Antifa, by their own definition, I'm just reading what they say about themselves, is an anti-fascist political movement in the United States compromising a diverse array of autonomous groups that aim to achieve their objectives through the use of nonviolence and violence, direct action rather than political reform. In other words, don't go through your representative and get a vote on things. Just come in and try to take over. Political activists engage in protest tactics such as digital activism, sending viruses on phones. Real nice people, right? And through companies they don't like. They hire people to just do this 24/7. Same thing happens in Israel, by the way. Protest tactics such as digital activism and militancy against fascists and racism, such as neo-Nazis, white supremacists, and other far-right extremists whom they seek to combat. This may sometimes involve property damage, physical violence, and harassment. Just a peaceful group, right? Against those whom they identify as belonging to the far right. The movement has little to do with black people as a whole and has a whole lot to do with the destruction of America. Three areas. They must attack and fundamentally destroy our nation. They have to reform in three areas. According to Holman, got a new book coming out, not released yet. My buddy Sam told me about this, and I listened to it. Sam Rohr on Stand in the Gap radio program. Here's the three things that have to change and for our nation to be taken over. Number one, get rid of God. Churches, therefore, when Antifa comes through, they burn churches as a symbol of rebellion toward God. They paint satanic symbolism on the church buildings and all kind of filthy words you wouldn't want to read or have your children look at. Number two, get rid of capitalism. Therefore, smash windows, steal property, burn buildings, no matter if the owners are black or female. That's not Black Lives Matter. Black female women running a pharmacy in New York, who aren't Christians, by the way, were cursing. They were cursing these people up and down and said, go out and get a job. Blankety, 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 blank. We are black. It's nothing to do with Black Lives Matter, killing black people. Something's wrong with that picture. And we're female. And by the way, this is the way they're talking, we love our husbands. We don't like to fight against them. Oh, I didn't know that. Get rid of God. Get rid of capitalism. Get rid of history. Therefore, turn over statues of men and women of history of the nation. Stop using traditional definition of family. We'll make our own definition. Hinder practices like holidays in order to follow a new order of leaders and ideologies. Hitler did the same thing. Burned libraries, renamed holidays. Yuletide instead of Christmas. Locked up pastors who resisted his move to control and marginalized the church's influence. I told you, the two dangerous occupations in the future, unless there's a national revival, are going to be the police officers and the pastors. That's going to be a dangerous occupation. Sins, we need to confess and ask God for mercy in our nation. Amongst, I can't list all of them, but abortion of babies in the womb is a choice to murder by all in agreement with it. I don't care what robe you're wearing. You're a murderer in your heart. It's a clear violation of God's gift of life and civility. It means how to act in a civilization. Thou shalt not kill. It's a fundamental right to live. That's liberty. God owns everything, including us and all of our possessions. Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. God's the owner. He's the rightful owner. Therefore, he can do with us as he desires. The sooner you get a hold of that, the freer you'll be. You won't be repressed by God being over your life. You'll be free. Rejection of God as creator, that means you don't need God as a savior. Romans chapter 1, rebels in heart, which we are all naturally, but specifically, if you reject that God created you a male or a female for his own glory, you can just do whatever you want. One of our founding fathers, Patrick Henry, right before he was about to die, wrote this to his family. I have now disposed of all my property to my family. There is one thing more I wish I could give them, and that is the Christian religion. If they had that and I had not given them one shilling, they would have been rich. And if they had not had that, the Christian faith, and I had given them all the world, they would be poor. Amen. He also says here about Patrick Henry at the Second Virginia Convention, March 23, 1775, in St. John's Church, Richmond. He delivered the speech that assured his fame as one of the great advocates of liberty. Convinced that war with Great Britain was inevitable, he presented strong resolutions for equipping the Virginia militia to fight against the British and defended them in a fiery speech with the famed declaration, I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. George Washington, our first president, 1776. It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for all His benefits, and to humbly implore His protection and favor. Not only our nation, all nations. My favorite statement by George Washington. It is impossible to rightly govern a nation without God and the Bible. Our third president, Thomas Jefferson, November 11, 1779. Ask that God would look down upon us in mercy and pardon all our sins and receive us into His favor. And finally, that He would establish the independence of these United States upon the basis of religion and virtue, and support and protect them in the enjoyment of peace, security, and safety. Theodore Roosevelt, our 26th president. The Constitution was made for the people and not the people for the Constitution. Contrast that with Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader. I'm not sure that's how you pronounce that. That's how I pronounce it. Bader. Ruth Bader Ginsburg made this statement. And my wife's like, honey. Okay, Bader, yeah, I know. Looks like batter to me. She made this statement in 2012. A Supreme Court associate judge made this statement. I would not look to the United States Constitution if I were drafting a constitution in the year 2012. Well, then get off the court. Because you're supposed to be upholding the Constitution. Not legislating new laws or reinterpreting old ones, but upholding what was written. Pastor Long, we've asked you to calm down so many times these last several weeks. I hope you get stirred up. It's like, by the way, our president says some things he shouldn't say on occasion, right? Curses on occasion, right? Everybody knows these things. But I remember when his presidency started and he got stirred up about Christians being beheaded by Muslims and he got fired up and said, we got to do something about this. And somebody said, I don't like your tone. I don't like his tone. Good thing it's not your relative bending down the knee with the knife raised. Your tone might change. Whatever we don't fight for, we lose. We fight, actually, for peace. 39 men signed the Constitution in 1787. 6 men signed both the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. See what I mean by education? How many of you knew that? I didn't know it until I studied it this week. And how old am I? 50. How old am I? 58. Yeah, I just had my birthday. 58. I didn't know it till this week. How long have I been an American? I just think, you know, I grew up underneath all these blessings and I assume they're just always going to be there. Not so. Lest we stand and pray. Six men signed both the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. George Clymer, Benjamin Franklin, Robert Morris, George Reed, Roger Sherman, James Wilson. James Wilson is an interesting individual. Taught at the University of Pennsylvania, what it's called now, was on the Supreme Court. He got involved in a land deal that went bad. Where's Dave Sweeley? Hey, Dave, be careful of that land, because it may not go exactly how... If it does go the way you want it to and everything, then Dave, come talk to me. But if it doesn't, just... Right, Ryan? Talk to him after the service. Now, these guys, by the way, most of them lost all their possessions. They joined all their resources together for the advancement of America. And folks, that's not socialism. That's so we could have independence. The Bible teaches the very same thing, by the way. The early believers came together. Their farms, their lands, some of them were murdered. They joined together their resources because the gospel was so important to progress around the world. That's why they did it. It wasn't forced on them. Higher tax, whatever. James Wilson, while he was on the Supreme Court, had a land deal go bad with two others and was actually arrested and put in debtor's prison until his son came and bailed him out. And it happened like two or three times. While he was a Supreme Court judge. How many of you love America? Come on. And you know what his attitude was? That's the law. Our seventh president, John Hancock, signed his name on the Declaration of Independence, not the Constitution. He signed his name large because he and Samuel Adams were on the top two most wanted list by the British government. How'd you like to be on that? Glad to be known for something. What name do you want your list on? I'm glad there's a new name written in heaven, and it's mine. Called the Christ. Not by merit of my own, I bow before him and him alone. The cross. Glory. So that has taken its move in our society, and my mom has used this on a number of occasions. I've heard her. UPS guy comes in, you know, knocked on the door, opens up, and he says, "Can I have your John Hancock?" Why? Because he just signed old big like this, you know. Let everyone know how he was John Hancock. Everybody, you know, let's save some space here. But you know, you got a birthday card and 50 people from church signed it. And every now and then people write real small so get everybody's name on it. He's like, "No way, man. John Hancock. I'll be real clear that my name's on there." Amen, I say to that. Abraham Lincoln, 16th president. "We the people are the rightful master to both Congress and our courts, not to overthrow the Constitution, but to overthrow the men who would pervert the Constitution." Sirs, my concern is not whether God be on our side, but whether we are on God's side, for God is always right. We put that one up over here. I like that, don't you? When Hitler moved on the world with his Nazi National Socialism, he had to marginalize the role of the church. He moved forward privatizing faith. Oh, faith is just a private matter. Keep moving it, you know, just keep your mouth shut. If that's why you believe, hey. instituting laws about what could be and not be said from the pulpit. Pastors were threatened not to speak against him or the state. They came in and take away their property. With God and religion removed from government, the values of Hitler socialism filled the vacuum. The church would increasingly become the enemy of the state by simply doing nothing. We will become the enemy of the state, a humanistic state, by simply doing nothing, because they'll just write new laws. And then the next thing you know, when I preach about God creating male or female, that might be interpreted as a hate speech. And all this was underneath the three words, freedom, peace, and fairness. Freedom, peace, and fairness to all. While they just took away the rights of the German people. About socialism in America. These social planners are dedicated to reforming America according to purely humanistic values. Agree with Hitler and this organization, the American Civil Liberties Union, ACLU, believes that God must be separate not from government but from every sphere of American life. Their stated goals are this. Religion, and particularly Christianity, you know, the one that says they're the only way. No, we don't say we're the only way. We say that Jesus said he's the only way. Let's get that straight, first of all. Religion, and particularly Christianity, must be ousted from government, law, education, and the workplace before our work will be accomplished. That's socialism. Thus, the so-called public square freedom of speech myth that has any hint of religious values will be filled with secular values. In other words, if you shut up, they're going to speak up. Let me say that again. If you shut up, they will speak up. They are speaking up, and they're speaking up loud. So here is three things that have happened because of lack of speaking up and willing to take the suffering for it. The cheapness of human life, abortion, and euthanasia. What does euthanasia mean? It means at a certain age, it might be good for you just to pass on along and let other people live. When you have no respect for life, it's the slaughter of the innocents and the slaughter of the elderly. Second of all, the promotion of all forms of immorality. LGBT and XYZ and whoever else, whatever else that filth means, which includes the destroying of God-ordained and defined marriage to whatever you want it to be. One group some time ago married the ocean. As soon as the redefinition of marriage, they went out on the ocean. They all married the ocean. I think the world's gone mad. When you get away from God, you are mad. Then the sexualization, as I said, I didn't say secularization, sexualization of school children. How despicable. Often when introduction to pornography and ridicule of traditional values, the ridicule of traditional value and definition of family, starting in the first grade. That is sickening. Now, who are your parents? Two women, two men, or a man and a woman? Isn't that wonderful, folks? This secularism is not religious neutral, by the way. Everybody can just have their own religions, no problem. But it's actually being imposed upon society as the only viable point of view. All their points of view don't matter. So laws are being passed that pervert effective opposition to these changes so that secularism can reign supreme. Freedoms formerly a part of our history can be withdrawn as religion is designated as a private matter, which is code word for meaning that it is irrelevant and non-essential. One of the first things they closed down in this COVID scare was the churches. First thing, the first public news about it was a choir singing. Some of them got it, and they said, there you go. And when Trump prayed with pastors, the liberal news media put out, here's one of the reasons why COVID is being spread so fast, and it was another attack on our president and the churches. Make no bones about it. Wake up and smell the coffee, as they say. As persecution increases, what should we do? In other words, unless there's a national revival, we're going to get persecuted more. I didn't come to hear that today, Pastor Long. Okay. Number one, any laws that would hinder the church coming together should be ignored. If they're not, you won't be able to come to church. Hebrews 10:24-25, a higher law than the laws of men. Let us consider one another. No, let us just forget about one another. No. Because when you come together, you are considering one another. Be considerate of others. And provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, however your culture wants to meet. That's fine. But exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So however you're going to come together, make sure you come together with someone, somewhere, for the purpose of glorifying and worshiping God. Do it on a regular basis. Number two, educate. God is creator and the only savior from sin is Jesus Christ. That will kill racism. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 1, sexual perversion start in the heart of one who's not thankful toward God for creating them a male or a female for his own glory. John 3:16 knocks out racism. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Spiritual and biblical, real, historical education is a community project. No, it's not. It's a parental project. Church is just an added benefit. It's in the home where the real education is you're responsible for. Deuteronomy 6:4-7, nation of Israel knew that. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all of thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children again and again and again. And shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house as a way of life. And when thou walkest by the way. And when thou liest down before you go to sleep. And when you rise up. You mean be talking about the Lord all the time? Yes. Every time you discuss some political thing or world, something happened in the world, go back to God. If not, after you look around, you're going to look down and you better be looking back up. And as I was going through the grocery store the other day, I said this to the lady. And she said, I'm looking up because my redemption. No, she said, I'm looking up because my redemption. She had to wear a mask, poor lady. She said, I'm looking up because my redemption's drawing nigh. Probably about 70 years old. Full of joy. Number three, be ready to suffer for righteousness' sake if God so chooses. We got so many cotton candy Christians today who are afraid of everything underneath the sun and unwilling to stand. That needs to change. Now's the time to stand. Has to be. Consider it an honor to be chosen by God for any higher assignment such as that. We put it on our soldiers, don't we? We're so glad when somebody's willing to lay down their life and fight for our freedoms. The red, white, and blue includes you. But that's so we can advance the gospel. Go back to her godly heritage. America's godly heritage. Humbly ask God to give you love for others and gracious courage to stand on the truth. Now is not the time to keep your mouth shut. Now is the time to speak up. With every challenge to our liberties, we have an opportunity to prove our love for Christ and the gospel. Many around the world right now live with the knowledge that their faith may cost them their life. We've had very little of that in America. But systematically, socialists, communists have infiltrated our nation, redefined our history, and want to take us over. Get rid of God, get rid of capitalism, and get rid of the history. So they won't know where they came from. God sends persecution to the church to shapen and sharpen our Christian witness. He's done that all through history. We've been living in a bubble here of 200 years. No nation has experienced the freedoms that we have. There's not one that includes Israel too. But somebody paid the price for us to live. You want to remember that. Freedom's not free. Somebody had to pay the way. And the removal of our sins isn't free either. It's a free gift of salvation, but it's in the fact that we don't work for it. But Jesus paid it all. Hitler had our godly brother Dietrich Bonhoeffer stripped naked and hung 2 weeks before the war was over. Here's what Bonhoeffer said. We will never be a victorious church until we see suffering as a divine gift. Philippians 1, 27 and 29. Only let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and nothing terrified by your adversaries. If you're not terrified by your adversaries, you're not going to allow yourself to be terrified by your adversaries, here's how they will respond. Which is to them an evident token of perdition, that they're damned, but that you are saved. And that salvation is of God. For unto us is given in behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His name's sake. Acts 5, 40 through 42. Aren't these great guys here? And when they called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, grumbling and complaining. Nope. They were rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. What does that mean? That means they disobeyed the government that told them they couldn't do that. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. I remember sitting in seminary. And somebody said, well, you know, these are closed nations. And we probably shouldn't be sending people there to honor the government. You know, I'm a troublemaker. Anybody here a troublemaker? Yes or no? Anybody here a troublemaker? Okay, got a couple of volunteers today. And I said, closed nations? There is no closed nation when it says go to all the world and preach the gospel. And my professor said, you're exactly right, Joel. Now what's wrong with the rest of you? Colton, that was Dr. Childs. I just thought, you know, something's not right with this picture. I got the star on that day, you know. Number four, pray genuinely and earnestly for the Holy Spirit to bring revival. Make sure you're not harboring sin in your own heart first. That's right. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, that's our first stage, and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. While you have more time, stop bunging on your movies and start praying. Oh, we got a lot of time to fill. I'll tell you what. Why don't you study a book? Why don't you pray more? Why don't you ask God to do something in our nation? Why not pray for national revival? Why not this week, just like they did? They call over again, our forefathers called for days of prayer and fasting. So I'm going to ask you, this week, skip a meal if you're able to do so. Let me put all those, you know, little beep, 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 doctor. Okay, right. If you're able to do so, skip a meal every day. It won't hurt most of us. And ask God to move in our nation. Now's the time. Number five, vote for the candidate who will uphold the Constitution, remembers and promotes our godly heritage, and believe rights are given by God and not the government. Right. And that's my 5 points. If you want a copy of them, you can have a copy of this message or get the CD and listen to it. But remember this, folks. The first century church had no representatives in government to plead their case. They had no power to vote the bums out, as we do in America. They did not have courts that would give them a fair hearing. There was just persecution, intimidation, and deprivation, and sometimes death. 1 Peter is a book of suffering and how we should respond in it. 1 Peter 4:11 through 14. If any man speak, which I'm doing right now, and I pray this every time before I speak. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God, the words of God. If any man minister, it's a word for deacon as well, let him do this. Do it as of the ability which God giveth. Lord, strengthen me, enable me to preach the word today. That God in all things might be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, and it's coming, you may be glad also with exceeding joy that you were faithful. If you be reproached, spoken against, looked down upon, for the name of Christ, happy are you. For the Spirit, anybody want this on them? For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Time to close, and I'll finish with this. When our 45th president, Donald Trump, realized that some governors had crossed the line with the COVID restrictions and were infringing on the religious freedoms and personal rights of citizens, he made this bold statement. In America, we worship God, not the government. That should have been an amen right there. Friday night at the foot of Mount Rushmore in South Dakota, by the way, that did not shut down their state, throw that in for a little zinger, in celebration of our nation's birthday, President Trump said these words throughout his speech, just a few clips. Let us remember our great nation was formed on the Judeo-Christian ethic, all God's people say. Amen. Let us remember the good that our forefathers did to give us these liberties. Let us remember the brave soldiers who fought to maintain our freedoms, and many gave their lives. Let us remember that our flag represents the blood, sweat, and tears of liberty. May God bless you, your family, our great military, and may God bless America. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Gracious Heavenly Father, help us to know the truth so the truth will set us free. May we pass this down to our children, 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 and on, as long as you allow this nation to exist. May we go back to the beginning for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. All God's people say, amen.